Well, welcome to our recorded service for April the 5th, Palm Sunday. Once again, I want to express my thank you for listening and continuing in this forum. And I guess we'll be doing this for some time. I really miss everybody out there. And again, it's a little difficult to preach to a digital recorder. I much rather see all your faces. But again, welcome to the recorded version of the Palm Sunday message. I hope it will be a blessing to you. Let me open in a word of prayer, and then I have a few announcements. So let's pray. Father, we unite our hearts together in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we know that you care about this difficult time that we are all going through. You promised that you would never leave us and never forsake us. And you have given us the promise of future prophecies that still yet need to be fulfilled. So God, we trust you, we lean upon you, and we ask that you grant us courage. And as we cover the subject of courage, may your Holy Spirit be our teacher. And may we come to take heart and be courageous. May we be as courageous as the Lord Jesus, who walked Via Dolorosa. Father, bless our people. And I know it's been difficult for each and every one to transverse this time where we need to mitigate and stay at home. So continue to grant unto every family, every person, every young person, endurance. Grant unto them patience. Grant unto them hope. And grant unto them courage. Father, bless those that are having a very difficult time with your encouragement. Bless them, Lord, to seek you and your word. And bless them in the word. And Lord, as we record our service, we know we can't meet together physically. But I pray again that as we hear this message, that we would unite our hearts together as a congregation. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, this week, I decided that there would not be a church bulletin due to the fact that all events are canceled until the end of April. I am communicating my daily memos to you by way of email and phone calls, and we will give any news that develops as soon as it happens. Hopefully we'll be out of this by the end of the month or maybe even sooner. The leaders and myself have been working on trying to put together a drive-in service for Easter Sunday, and I worked quite a bit on it Thursday and again Friday and this morning. I'm waiting for a call from the Dutchess County Executive Office, so pray about that because we need permission, and we're hoping to be able to use the facility at the Four Brothers in Amenia. They have a drive-in theater. But after talking with some other leaders, I'm hearing the mitigation is getting tighter and tighter and not to get my hopes up. But we can still pray and ask the good Lord, if he wills, to open that door for Easter so we could have a gathering. And I understand that gathering would be in our cars, but nonetheless, it would be a church gathering for Easter Sunday. There'll be a future memo on that, however, which way the decision is made. Another point of interest to you might be palms. We have palms available, and they will be available on the church front porch if you want to take 2, 3, 4. I would recommend wipe them down. I haven't touched them. They're in a plastic bag. But again, we're advising you be careful. So they will be out in the front of the church in a container, and we'll have them by the door, and you can help yourself to two or three each, and hope that be a blessing to your heart. Well, I want to get into some prayer requests and then share those requests with others and ask them to pray. At the top of the list right now is Holly's grandson. Many of you received an email memo and a prayer request to pray for Colby. He is in dire straits. He truly needs our prayers. He needs a bone marrow transplant, and right now he's in Albany Medical Center. So please lift up your hearts unto God and ask for him to deliver this little boy. I sent a photo that Holly sent, and it'll truly bless your heart. Also, of course, we're asking everyone to pray concerning the people with the coronavirus, and that we pray for the especially pray for those who are very ill. We also would ask that you pray for all the healthcare workers. These are the doctors and the nurses and the technicians and so many others that are working literally on the front lines of this battle. And they go to work every day, suit up, and go into these hospitals where there are numerous patients who are trying their best to recover from COVID-19. And so we can do our part. We can pray, and there is much power in prayer. Put yourself for a moment in their place and in the place of their loved ones. Also pray concerning our young people. They're home from school, and it looks like they will be for the remaining of the school year. Pray for their parents, and pray for their parents to come up with activities that will be wholesome and that will be beneficial. And pray that this time will be a time where families can bond and become ever closer. I want you to remember to pray for the Ballard family. Last week, Trevor's cousin, who was only 18 years old, passed away, and he too battled with leukemia. At the top of the list, Wednesday night is our dear couple, Ashley and Trevor Vandover, and they covet your prayers. Her delivery is going to be very soon, and we got the good news that Trevor will be able to be in the delivery room. So that's a praise. And also we have a praise that Brianna Vincent was dismissed from the hospital and is home, but continue to pray for her well-being, for the caretakers. Pray for Donna and for Sydney. Also pray for Donna Dana. We don't want to forget her. She's still convalescing with her daughter, and we're hoping to be able to see her when all of this is over. She is in good spirits, and she communicates many wonderful clips to me, and some of them I've shared with you all. Continue to pray for her. Remember Keith Light's son, Travis. He is scheduled for surgery April the 21st. I'm not sure if that is still going to come to pass because of all of the new hospital demands. So pray for this to come to pass as the Lord wills. Remember Gene Dykeman, who had fell and is in a convalescent center. Pray that she'll heal. Also pray for Frank Harrington. He's home and he's recovering nicely. This week he started physical therapy where he's putting a little weight on the leg that he had the surgery. And he's very upbeat, and I praise God for that. So continue to pray for that success. And pray for Irene. She's very upbeat too, but it certainly has been trying, especially with the stay-at-home order. We remind you to pray for Janie's brother, Jim, and for Donna's cousin, Mike. Mike is struggling with cancer. That's pancreatic cancer. And Jim is suffering with cancer, too. Remember the special needs children. Again, Brianna Vincent, the Rolosses, and we've got a report from Angie that they're doing okay, but continue to pray for Brendan's health, for Brian, for Brooke, Brody, and Kobe. Don't forget Kobe. I also would ask that we all remember our shut-ins. We're all kind of there now, but not to the extent that our seniors are. We have folks like Charlie Pulver and others that are shut in. So remember to pray for them. Pray for the seniors that are shut in and isolated. Pray for the ones that are at home with medical situations. Well, thinking about seniors, I have a joke that I came across that I did a while back. I think in light of the situation, I dedicated to our seniors. And we're very concerned about them because we know COVID-19 is devastating to our senior citizens. Well, the clip begins with, "Don't ever forget about us old folks." Now, I guess I'm pretty much there too. We are worth a fortune. We have silver in our hair. We have gold in our teeth, stones in our kidneys, lead in our feet, and gas in our stomachs. I myself have become quite a frivolous old gal since I wrote you last. As a matter of fact, I'm dealing with 5 different gentlemen every day. When I get up in the morning, Will Power, he gets me out of bed. Then I immediately go see John. You can figure that out for yourself. A few minutes later, Charlie Horse comes along. And when he leaves, Arthritis shows up. And finally, before I go to bed, Ben Gay. Oh, I'm so glad you're all getting a great laugh out of that joke. Well, anyway, we need humor. And we need a good dosage of it. So find a good joke and tell it to somebody. And I appreciate the few jokes I got from Brother Mark. I really appreciated that. And it's good for us to take time to laugh, take time to pray, and take time to do things for others. Well, it's time for me to begin reading the passage of Scripture that I'm going to preach from today. But because it is Palm Sunday, I want to go to an Old Testament prophecy and read from Zephaniah chapter 3. And I'm going to read verses 14 to 17. And then I'm going to come to a New Testament passage. And that's 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 7. I'm going to tie these two passages together, and I do hope that they'll be a blessing to your heart. I begin with Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 14. It is a prophecy of our Lord Jesus coming to the city of Jerusalem on what we have designated Palm Sunday. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all thy heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thy enemy, the King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear thou not, and to Zion, Let not thy hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. May God bless our hearts with that passage. Now I want to turn to the New Testament, where Paul is writing to young Timothy. I'm reading from chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 7. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must first partake of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Amen and amen. Father God, we pray that you would give us understanding in all of these things. In the prophecy of Zephaniah, and in the words that you gave the Apostle Paul to his protege Timothy, and ultimately to us. God, I pray that this message will speak to the hearts of everyone who's listening, that we would take heart and have courage. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, Palm Sunday marks the day that our Lord Jesus made his triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem. It marked the beginning of the last week that he would spend as a man, though we know him as the God-man, fully God, fully man. Well, on that road to Jerusalem, our Lord Jesus is traveling toward his death, burial, then ultimately his resurrection. It is during this Holy Week we have recorded one-third of all the events in the life of the Lord Jesus. It is important for us to know that Jesus endured a mock trial. He suffered cruel beatings and knew of his impending execution. And I say this because I want you to know he, our Savior, exhibited for us courage even in the face of death. Jesus offered himself as the King of the Jews. People began stripping palm branches off of the trees and then started laying them in the pathway as Jesus rode by. The crowd followed him into Jerusalem and they yelled out, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest," which means save. They were crying out, "Save us, save us." It is remarkable to me that the Lord Jesus knew of his impending death, and yet he rode upon that donkey into the city of Jerusalem, which ultimately would reject him. We know that Christ was rejected and was not exalted as the King of Kings, and of the kings of the Jews. The Bible tells us he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Instead of sitting upon a righteous throne that he deserved, he was nailed to a cross. This took great courage beyond our thinking. For at any time, now please listen, at any time, the Lord Jesus could have called 10,000 angels to his side. We too need to take heart and have courage. Jesus had courage, and he restrained himself from using the very power that could have released him from his cup. You know, what we are experiencing in this global pandemic, it is troubling. It is not our normal. Yes, we have seen folks get sick, and many we hear are dying. But it will come to pass. Folks, take heart and have courage. There is a new world coming. And this is my first point that I want to piggyback off of the passage of Zephaniah. The Lord Jesus will return to this earth, and he will return in all of his glory as King of Kings. That day is coming. A day is coming for all of us when there will be no illness, disease, or any stay-at-home mandate because of an evil virus. Yes, we're scrambling in this pandemic for doctors, for nurses and medics, but in that day, there will be no need for them. But for now, I plead with all of you to pray for them. Ask for God to put a hedge about them. But getting back to this future event, that ought to give us courage, because we know the times that we are experiencing, they will come to pass, because just as Christ prophesied that there would be wars and rumors of wars, and kingdoms would rise against kingdoms, and that there would be earthquakes in divers places and pestilence, just as those prophecies are coming to pass, so will the prophecy of Christ's return. And there will be no poverty. There will be no famines. There will be no earthquakes. No racial unrest. No need to lock your doors or stay indoors. You say, how can this be? Well, that wonderful day will become a reality. It will be a time of peace and joy that people have dreamt up for so many years. So take heart and have courage. All we are experiencing, it has been prophesied, and all the other prophecies too, they will come to pass. Yes, we've got to batten down the hatches, and we're going to go through some rough times, but it's not the end. It is written by the prophet Zephaniah in chapter 3 that Christ our King is coming again. And when he comes, he will set up his millennial kingdom. And prior to that, we, his church, will be raptured. And we will participate in the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we will be getting our marching orders so that we can come back with King Jesus as his administrators on this earth. So folks, we need to keep our hearts and our minds in the perspective and the reality of scriptures and what they promise. This will give us all courage. That day will occur when Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, returns, as it is written in Zechariah 14 and verse 9. That's This is a different book. Don't want to confuse you. Not Zephaniah, but Zechariah. And I'll read that passage. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. It will be a literal 1,000-year reign of King Jesus ruling on planet earth. It will be an earthly political kingdom of Christ when he will restore the nation of Israel, their temple worship, and their holy city, and fulfill his covenant to David, and yes, take his rightful throne. So Jesus did come on Palm Sunday and offer himself as a king to the Jewish people. They rejected him, but that would never stop the plan of God. His appearance will be a visible one, physical, and even catastrophic. The Bible says in Matthew 24 and 27, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." You know, palm branches were laid in the pathway of the Lord Jesus as he rode by. And they were a symbol of victory. People of that day understood the meaning of the palms, because the winners of the old Greek Olympic Games, they used to carry the palm branches and wave them as a flag. Well, today at our Olympic Games, we carry our country's flag and the official Olympic Game flag. Sad to note, the games were scheduled to begin between July and August of this year. However, due to the increasing number of COVID-19 cases, they have made the decision to postpone the Olympic Games in Tokyo until the summer of 2021. And I'd like to piggyback off of that. One of the most exciting Olympic events in these Olympic Games is the 4x100 relay. Now stay with me. I have a method to my madness here. Four men or women each race 100 meters, passing the baton as each runner finishes his part of the race. Coaches say that the most critical moment in a relay race, it's not the beginning or the end. It's that split second when one runner takes the baton and places it in the hand of the next runner. If there's a bobble, or if the baton is dropped, the race would be lost. Well, this year, let these palms speak to us to have courage. Let them represent victory, even in the midst of our current crisis. To do so, we have to have courage. So it is with the Christian message. In a world crisis, we must not drop the baton. We must do what we can, so that the next generation believes and has courage too. This is not a time to be fragile. It is the time to exhibit our spiritual strength, because we must pass the baton of truth along. We must pass our faith along. We must pass our hope along, and we must pass courage along. And I'm going to encourage that moms and dads, boys and girls, get together more than ever for family devotions and Bible reading, because it will strengthen your faith and it will grant you the courage that you need. Paul said that we are to take courage and be good soldiers. Going to the New Testament passage, Paul wrote to Timothy, a young man who was timid and needed courage, just like so many of us do at this time. And he began chapter 2 of 2 Timothy saying, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong," not in human flesh, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Folks, you got to find your strength in Christ, not in yourself. Because if we try to deal with this in the arm of the flesh, we will fail. We live in a society that has not experienced the harshness of war. Yes, we're at war. Our very president has declared we are at war with an invisible enemy. And by the way, if truth be told, Satan is the real enemy behind this. But we must take heart and have courage. We take courage in God's promises. First, the promise that our King is going to return. He's not left us to ourselves. And we take courage in the words of Scripture. And more precisely, in the words that God gave the Apostle Paul. You see, Paul likened the Christian life as being a warfare. In fact, if you read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 and 12, it tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And those powers and principalities, they are fighting even now in high places. So that passage implies we are at war. A picture used in that passage and in others. It is a war with God's adversary and our adversary, Satan. Now there are three important factors related to being a faithful soldier. Soldiers need courage. God has called His church to have courage. We need to be the dispensers of it during this crisis. But first, we must be empowered by the grace of God, as Paul mentioned in verse 1. We do that by acknowledging first our weakness. I know that sounds like an oxymoron, but the Bible tells us when we are weak, then we are strong. When we acknowledge that we are weak, Christ gives us strength. So we do that, being humbled and asking God to saturate our hearts and our minds with His love, with His encouragement. And we do that by saturating our minds. We are to renew our minds. And I have heard pastor after pastor preaching during the course of this pandemic that the believers need to saturate their minds, to renew their minds, because the news is nothing but negative. And yet we Christians know that there is much prophecy that is positive. Now Paul gives us three illustrations of what it means to be a strong Christian. And he begins with the illustration of a soldier. And I would have you look at chapter 2, and let's look down at verse 3. "Thou therefore endure hardness," note he says, "as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." The Lord knows what we're going through. He's not blind to it. He's completely aware. And He's empowered His church. Paul didn't want Timothy to have any misconceptions, and God doesn't want us either to have misconceptions. Yes, what we're experiencing is difficult, but it should not have been unknown, and we can take courage, and God has promised us deliverance. In this world, we will have to endure hardness, which includes persecutions, being misunderstood, sickness, disease, and opposition. And the Lord Jesus told His church in John chapter 15 and verse 18. You remember, He said, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Paul knew what it meant to suffer hardships. You should take the time to read the litany of things that the Apostle Paul endured as a good soldier. You find them in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 to 28. Paul truly was a good soldier. Paul explains what it means for us to be a good soldier. He says we are to be good. And that comes from the Greek word kalos. Almost sounds more like Klingon. But kalos means honorable or conferring honor. And so we are to behave in a way that as a good soldier we would eventually be given honors. We are not to be soldiers simply in terms of function and duty. We are to be active, noble, and heroic soldiers. And to do that, we need to take heart and have courage. Those are the kind of soldiers who earn medals of valor and honor. And so we need to take heart and have courage like a good soldier. Paul goes on to say, no man that warreth, and that implies that we are at war. And that word for warreth comes from the Greek word stratuo, to do military duty, to be in active service. I fear that there are too many Christians who have went AWOL during this particular pandemic. It's not the time to leave the army. It's time to step up to the front lines. Christians are to be in active service, and we are called to be on duty all the time, not just in the good times. I thank God for the Christians in our church, and I know of some of them who have been actively involved in encouraging others and doing what they can to make this current crisis pass with a little bit more ease. You see, the Christian Army does not have any members who are at rest or on recreation. All are on the front lines of an active battle because we all need to be there to work together. We can sometimes get too entangled, Paul says, as we read verse 4, no man that worth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. And why is that? Paul says that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if we're honest and transparent before God, we know that we can become self-absorbed. We can be too entangled with the affairs of our own life. We can run to the store and grab all the stuff off the shelves for us and not think about anybody else, if you get what I'm saying. It isn't a time for us to forget others. It is now the time to step up for others more than ever before. We are at war, and we are at war with unbelief like never before. But the doors of opportunity are open, and we got to go through those doors. We can't quit now in the middle of the battle. The Greek word translated entangled is a word that means to interweave. A believer's life is not to be wrapped up in the non-essentials of this life. That's not to say we don't have times where we have retreats and times where we get away to get refreshed. Even Jesus did that. The Bible tells us that he often got away to a high mountain and prayed, and he did so to restore his perspective and his energy and to be alone with the Father. And again, I cannot emphasize enough that in this time of battle, that you need to be with the Lord. I find myself doing more hours of devotions and prayer than before. And that's how it should be. Because we live on the battlefront. All things are to be subservient to winning the battle. Paul knew much about the Roman soldiers of his day. You remember, he was chained to them when he was imprisoned. And a good soldier wants to please his commanding officer. It was Josephus, the Jewish historian of Paul's time, who described the Roman soldier like this, I quote, "Each soldier every day throws all his energy into his drill as though he were in action," unquote. And God has called us to action. And even though we are staying at home, there's still our prayer time, our Bible time, and our service time. Now, Paul also uses the example of an athlete. Paul uses the word Stephanos. The crown that he's talking about probably refers to the wreath that's given in the Greek Olympic Games. That word translated crown, and you see it twice in this passage. It says in verse 5, "And if a man also strive for masteries," that is conveying the idea of an athlete. The word actually is the word Stephanos. "And yet is he not crowned?" That word, again in Greek, is Stephanos. But it is alluding to, doesn't the athlete, doesn't he strive, doesn't he practice, doesn't he work hard so he can receive the crown? Now, we get our English name Stephen and Stephanie from the Greek word Stephanos. In contrast to the kingly crown, which would be the Greek word diadema, which always refers to the kingly dignity, position, or crown, this crown was a token of honor, the Stephanos crown, for distinction in service. This crown reveals that our goal should be to attain to Christ's approval. He's our commander in chief. We continue in the battle. And there are many ways in this crisis we can. And I'm, again, so thankful for the example of folks who have not given up. They're praying more. They're on the phone encouraging others. Some going shopping for seniors. And some even sending me tidbits and encouraging me by way of jokes or comments. That is staying in the battle and praying. Prayer is the greatest weapon of our warfare. And not only do we pray for each other, which is very important in our church, but we need to pray for the battle that is going on in our hospitals and throughout this entire nation. The war is won with our knees to the floor. Well, an athlete also must know the rules of the event. Many of you who play basketball, football, baseball, or hockey, or whatever, soccer, you have to know the rules. And then you have to train diligently and then compete with an understanding of those rules. You can't just go into the game, play it any way you want. And Paul knew what it meant to keep the rules. In fact, he explained that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to 27. The point here is that we Christians must work lawfully. We must strive lawfully or contend according to the rule book. What is the rule book? It's the Bible. Paul says in that fifth verse, "And if a man also strive for masteries," as we mentioned, the athlete, "yet he is not crowned except what? He does it properly. He strives lawfully." And we got to continue to do what God's called us to do, even the times are bad. We don't stop praying. We pray more. We don't stop reading our Bible. We read it more. We don't stop doing good. We do it more. The only way to overcome evil is with good. So keep on doing the good. Say, Pastor, but you don't know, I'm so upset about this. Well, take heart. Have courage. Put your mind in the Bible and allow the words of God to renew your mind. Because once your mind is renewed, your soul will be. And when your soul will be, your heart will be. We need to take courage too, Paul says, and be like a good farmer. It's often in the Bible a wonderful thing that God calls our attention to the farmers. God, where would we be without the farmers? We wouldn't have any food to eat. Paul says in that sixth verse, the husbandman, that's the farmer, that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. In this illustration, we learned that being a Christian is sometimes just plain hard work. Who works harder than a farmer? A farmer does all kind of back-breaking work. And there are people out there like the Dykemans who know exactly what I'm talking about. There's the plowing and then the planting and the cultivating. Sometimes it's no fun being a farmer, especially when there are droughts and weeds crop up that you didn't expect, and insects or an early frost. Folks, the same is true of being a Christian. Sometimes it's just hard work. Can't be afraid to be involved in the hard work. There's hard work. But verse 6 also makes the point that when the crops do come, the farmer receives the first of the harvest. That we're blessed by our due diligence and we reap the harvest. Many blessings await those who work hard in the ministry of God, both in the present and yet in the future, in the hereafter. Remember, we're working for our crowns, and those crowns will be cast at the feet of Jesus. God has given all of us a spiritual field in which to plow, to plant, to cultivate, and harvest. Maybe at a school, an office, a factory, a store, a warehouse. Maybe even in your home, because that's where many of us are right now. Most of us discover soon after, I think it is when we become a Christian, that the newness and the glamour, if we allow it, wears off. And it begins to be just plain hard work. And that's because we're not seeking the Lord to renew our minds. That's the reason so many new Christians are no longer in church after 6 months. When being a Christian is just hard work, we need to remember the farmer that laboreth will be partaker of the fruits. Paul tells us this truth, and I have said it many, many times. It's one of my favorite passages. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and verse 58, and I pray you be encouraged with the verse as I close. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We're to always be abounding in the work of the Lord through the good times and the bad times. In the times of peace and the times of war. We're not to quit. I know it's distressing times. And in these times of distress, when you are put to the greatest test, you must let Scripture guide and comfort you and give you the courage you need. Never let the world crisis and culture around you dishearten you from our good Father, our Heavenly Father. Don't let it dishearten you from the Father's will and the purpose He has for your life. What He has said will come to pass. Turn to the Scriptures. Allow them to reorientate you to God your Father. If you will immerse yourself daily in the Word of God, you will not be caught off guard or disillusioned, and you will have the courage to face every new day. I pray to God that you will. Father God in heaven, again I ask you to use the message, but more especially your word. Father, we all need courage in this hour. I need courage. Keep me in tune with your Holy Spirit and in your word. And I pray that this crisis will come to pass as we stand up as good soldiers, as striving athletes, and patient farmers. Help us, O God, to do the work of the ministry so that we are a blessing to our commander, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in His name, and we pray for His sake. Amen and amen.